Hey, this is George Edelman, editor-in-chief at No Film School, and today we have an interview for you with Justin Roiland and Mike McMahon, who are the co-creators and co-EPs, executive producers on Solar Opposites, which is a new show coming to Hulu on May 8th. It's a cartoon, it's animated, it's a sitcom format, a family of aliens from another planet take up life on Earth and try to fit in. And if you're not familiar with Justin Roiland and Mike McMahon's other work, Justin created Rick and Morty, the animated show, and Mike wrote on it. And Mike has also worked on numerous other animated series. And I've known Justin for 10 plus years. We go way back to the DIY days. I knew him when he first created some viral video stuff, and he is a true talent, a unique one-of-a-kind talent. He's hysterical. I've cast him in things, which we talk about in the podcast. So it was really fun to get to talk to him on the podcast now about what he's been working on and what he's doing and just be silly because that's what he does best. As you'll find, there's a lot of joking in here. Mike is great and he's also hilarious. And we talk about how they make the show, what their advice is to people who want to get into animation and want to create anything, how to pitch to get on writing staffs, what the do's and don'ts are for that. And they talk about how they approached making the show in general and writing comedy that's out of the box and pushes buttons but isn't offensive. They have some really good ideas about that. And there's just some good stuff. There's some really silly stuff and fun stuff in here. And I'm excited for people to listen to it. And I'm really excited for people and for myself to watch the show because it's going to be good. And these guys are great. And I can't wait. So here we go. I just want to say right off the bat, I'm thrilled to have both Justin Roiland and Mike McMahon, who are the co-creators, executive producers on Solar Opposites, with me today on the No Film School podcast. I've known Justin for a long time. It's been a while, but we met back in Channel 101 days, not long after House of Cosby's. Mike, we've only just met really, but I feel like I've known you forever via Twitter and, just being, Star Trek season 8, right?
My baby.
And, in general, I'm excited to hear about this show and to talk to you guys about it and what else you're doing and how your quarantines are going. So I guess right off the bat, just tell me a little bit about Solar Opposites.
Wow.
That's a pretty tough question.
Wow.
Is it a cartoon?
Yes. Yeah, it's a cartoon. It's a 2D animated cartoon. Technology that was made popular by Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm. Ours is it's in color, full color.
Full color with the Dolby surround sound. I think that might not be true. Actually,
is this the kind of cartoon where they paint the little cells right one after another?
Yeah, that's why it took so long. Is everything's hand painted? We started off; it was all going to take place on a steamboat and be in black and white. But then we were like, you know what? Let's go for full color.
Yeah, full color. We splurged for that full color bit.
And that's risky. That's a risky call, right? Did you have to fight the network on that at all?
They wanted black and white. They're purists.
Yeah, we had to fight the Nazis. We had to fight the network.
Mm-hmm. We did a lot of fighting.
We had to fight the power that be. The power that, what is it? Fight the power that
the powers, be. The powers that be, yeah.
We had to do a lot of internal fighting, within ourselves, deep within ourselves. But you know what? We ended up with a great animated family alien show that premieres on May 8th on Hulu.
Not another one of those, to throw in the pile. Another animated alien family show.
Yeah. So speaking of which, is this also the cell, the hand art, does that also contribute to some of the delays on your the other show you guys have worked on together, Rick and Morty.
Yeah, because we only have two artists, and they're only allowed to work on one thing at a time. So it's really
slow. Justin, are you currently on audio playing with a Rubik's Cube?
Oh, can you hear it?
Yeah.
You know Justin well enough to know which toy he's playing with. Like, I just always imagine surrounded by various toys, but I never know which ones.
No, man. He's a Bond villain. He's got Bond strapped to a table, and he's clicking a Rubik's Cube as a giant Rubik's Cube is lowering towards Bond.
I got the quietest Rubik's Cube I have, and I'm shocked that you can hear it.
I can hear you guys.
The quietest one? Did you search on Google? Were you like, what's the quietest Rubik's Cube?
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the review said very quiet, very quiet.
Safe for podcasts?
Safe for podcasts, very
quiet. Hey, man, it's, you know, this happens on a lot of podcasts where one person is just flipping away at a Rubik's Cube in the background. I'm fine with it.
Nobody, hey, we're in an era now where nobody knows what anybody is actually doing or actually wearing, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
You can. So, what but you guys were getting. You guys work in animation, and while it's, you know, your version of animation is somewhat time consuming and labor intensive, we're this quarantine situation with COVID-19, maybe animation is something that is it easier to keep going? I mean, despite all the hand drawn elements.
Yeah, because you can have everyone can work naked and from their homes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the amount of time we save of when people used to be putting on and taking off shoes is crazy. And now, yeah, no clothing, no shoes, no problems. And also, we can move a lot of our – I mean, it doesn't make our lives easier, but, you know, because everybody's stressed out and you want the best work from people. But along with being naked, we are able to move all of the systems home from the studio so that people can work remotely. They can stay safe. We all still, like, do production meetings over Zoom. And pretty much it's unaffected the production. A little bit of a bump right at the very beginning when we were getting everybody set up, but that was like a day. Like, a really bad rainstorm will do that. So it's been surprisingly, we've kind of been able to keep stuff going on season two for Solar in a really great way.
Justin on Zoom must be amazing. I can only imagine.
Oh, he's a joker.
Justin Roiland on Zoom.
He's a happy guy. He's a joker.
Yeah, I'm pretty good on Zoom. I was just going to add to that I think, George, that this is going to stick. I think people like working from home naked, and I think that even after we've defeated this virus, our best, you know, heroes have defeated it, and that we will want to keep working from home instead of going into offices
Years ago, you kind of came up with this idea, like. Season two of Rick and Morty, you were like, what if we had software? We could all be in VR. We could all be working from home.
Yes.
And you kind of have that now. You kind of got your wish. Should you have wished for that wish? Do you regret it now?
No, it's great. I like the software. You know, I do wish it was in VR. That would be nice. We don't really have a VR equivalent. Although I will say Half-Life Alyx did a really good job of being able to draw with a dry erase marker more so than any other dedicated, like, hey, let's get together and draw programs have ever done, which is kind of fucking hilarious. Valve just said, hey, here's a fucking little thing that we whipped up better than anyone else could.
You still have to fight aliens, but you do get a good whiteboard in it. So it's kind of like a handoff.
Yeah. You have to fight monsters. Yeah. But you get that little whiteboard.
I feel like you're definitely a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like
dumb?
An early adopter.
Oh yeah,
an early adopter of the quarantine lifestyle, even before that was even on anyone's radar. But you were like, yeah, how much can I do? How much can I handle from? Yeah,
I was certainly thinking about it. That's for sure.
I think that Justin just likes me more in the virtual scape of a VR game, because then that's where. I can be like a cartoon moose wearing like a wetsuit, which is what he really prefers to collaborate.
Yeah. That's what Mike looks like to me all the time.
Let me ask this about this show. It is another alien family show, but it's definitely a different vibe than Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah.
So let's dig into it. Like, give me some of the key, like, you know, people don't know this show. They know you guys, they know the humor, obviously, like, you know, Justin's voice, But like, what's the, you know, the elements of it that kind of like, I feel like I've heard, to be honest, I feel like I've heard versions of this from Justin over the years before, like, but I want to hear, like, I think the people want to know a little bit about what, you know, what makes this show.
I think the people should
power
know.
To the people. Power
yeah, the people, they deserve to know. And I think that, you know, we're not afraid to say it, that Justin and I really like TV and we really like cartoons and we really like making cartoons together. So in between seasons 2 and 3 of Rick and Morty, we were trying to come up with a cartoon idea. We tried really valiantly to not make an alien show, but I love aliens and so does Justin. And despite our best efforts, we ended up wanting to do a show that kind of felt like a broad network sitcom from a distance. But then the more you zoom in on it and the more you pay attention to it, the weirder it gets.
God is watching us from a distance, by the way. I just want to throw
yeah, that's
in.
True.
So always. Did you guys, is that thing about the alien, the UFO, was that part of your marketing for this show? That thing that's all over the news?
No, that's a real alien. We're not supposed to tell you about that, though.
Yeah, that's if you have the real an alien, thing. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past you guys.
That's the real McCoy. Read him and weep.
Yeah, if you make an alien show, the government has to call you and tell you which aliens are real, and that one's real. We shouldn't be telling you that.
Yeah, okay. We're not allowed to say that so, yeah.
You know, No Film School is, like, big on, the community is big on DIY. That's, like, a big part of it, and I know Justin from DIY background.
What does that mean? Does that mean, does it yeet? What is DIY?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, cool.
Justin, like, you have like built so much from just like, I'm going to make it myself kind of attitude, like establishing your style and your brand and your voice and your amazing ideas.
Oh, stop.
I cast Justin a long time ago in a black and white short. He's great. He's a great actor.
He is a great actor. I think he's one of the best actors. I'm not even blowing smoke.
Remember Stovepipe Wells?
Stovepipe Wells, exactly. No, I've always thought Justin's a great actor.
Jason's great.
Jason's
okay.
One of my favorite, one of my oldest friends.
Jason's going to go somewhere.
Jason is the name he uses when he auditions for serious stuff like The Flash, you know.
Yeah. I would love
for someone to put Justin in a drama and
me too, actually.
Please.
I could do it.
Dr. Gary, he could be, and he could like come in and be really serious.
Dr. Gary, that's the role for me.
I love it.
Mike, what's your like how did you get started? Where did it start for you?
You know, I started, for me, I always wanted to be a writer. And then when I moved out here, I ended up being a PA on whatever I could get. And that started with Mike Mundell, may he rest in peace, our beloved line producer who we lost last year, hired me as a PA on Drawn Together way back in the day. And I went from there to being a PA on South Park. And then I worked at Fox with Jennifer Howell when she was running animation at the studio. And I was writing up a storm, and that's where I met Justin, who knew that we kind of had sort of similar interests. And then he hired me as a writer's assistant on Rick and Morty, and I kept moving on up to being a writer and eventually showrunner, and then splitting off to do my own stuff. That classic Hollywood tale.
Yeah, no, it's a good tale though, and you've done a lot of amazing stuff.
It's an American tale. Fievel goes west.
I am the Fievel of sci-fi animation. I would like to say.
What does that make Justin?
Justin's like my.
I'm Dom DeLuise. I'm the cat. I'm Dom DeLuise from the first Fievel movie.
There are no Jason Roilands in America.
Yeah,
is that the
yeah.
Big number.
And every movie.
I think that movie was supposed to be about Jews. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Russian immigrants, right?
There's definitely you. That's Don Bluth. Which, you know, if you guys are into animation.
Was he anti-Semitic? Is that what you're getting at here?
No.
No, I think I flipped that.
He was an ex Walt Disney guy, though. So we're tying it all back in here to Walt Disney and anti-Semitism. And, no, but like, you know, there was a big piece the other day about, do you guys remember Secret of Nim?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And about how intensely serious and dark and weird that is. Yeah. And that was also Bluth.
I was the only guy who was on the side of the scientists. We got to know. We gotta inject those rats with whatever the NIM Institute was testing. Nobody ever worries, you know, about the diseases they were curing. They're only worried about that sweet, beautiful little mouse and her family. Get at it.
We also need to know more about where these rats came from and this and this the way they were bred, because if their telomeres are too long, then all the tests that we've done so far could be completely void.
But also,
I'm just throwing that out there.
What lab is testing on field mice? Like,
that's right.
You're gonna bring a mouse in off the street and test it, and then be like,
"No, they gotta be very. Yeah, it's very controlled. Very controlled. In fact, the telomeres are too long on these lab mice.
I've got notes on Secret of NIMH. Call the Secret of NIMH people immediately.
Can you guys Justin's do an
gonna
annotated...
say the telomeres stuff?
Yeah, let's just break this wide open.
Let's find out who has the rights, and maybe you guys can pitch the sequel or the reboot.
Am I saying that right?
The telomeres?
I honestly don't know what you're talking about. I thought maybe you made that up.
We might be doing a telomere spinoff story. It's just the telomeres. The mice are
What is a telomere? Tell me what it is. I don't know.
Just those telomeres.
It's too long.
We have a couple of telomeres in solar opposites, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but they're off screen. They're just in the world. We haven't done any.
Tell me
we haven't
more
shown them.
About them.
It's tough because
ding ding ding.
Listen. We all know what a telomere is. Nobody needs to hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like
somebody out
knows.
There is like, you're going to get all these letters. Oh, it's a region of repetitive nucleotide sequence. Okay, we get it. But here's the important part. We don't make any show that's not covered in telomeres. All right.
Yeah. That's where we start.
Hulu demanded it. It's a Hulu thing. Don't Google it.
Yeah, every Hulu show has telomeres.
Do you know how many telomeres are in the looming tower? Like eight.
Eight.
It's crazy.
Eight. And
is that
also
part of the deal when you sign with Hulu?
Yeah, and they're elongated telomeres as well, which is very interesting.
And for a Christmas present, they send you a leather satchel full of telomeres. Hulu does. It's really nice, actually.
There's
it's
so awful. Many you can smear them on your face. It's great.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
some great swag to get.
It is.
You know?
Especially right now, you know, times are so crazy, you want to be covered in telomeres.
We're really peeling back the layer on what it's like on the inside of the industry here.
I just like that whoever logged into this podcast is like, all right, here we go. Time to learn about solar opposites. But guess what? Now you got to Google telomeres or else we just wasted your time.
Let's do a real...
Are you sure? You want to finish the cube? I mean, I know you can finish that Rubik's Cube in under a minute. So
I've already solved it a few times, but let's talk about
Tell me about how you make a cartoon. Not just the hand painting part. Tell me the
Well,
whole,
it depends. I mean, if you're a no film school person, then you're going to want to get a flash or some sort of program and just hunker down and maybe find a couple of people to help you out, record the voices, storyboard it out, and then just start animating. It's as easy as that. 1, 2, 3, boom, you got yourself a cartoon for YouTube or whatever you're doing.
Yeah,
but for
that's a good idea. Jason Roiland just gave us a really serious That was like a genuine like
that was the Jason talking, but
that was the real that was the Jason in you.
Yeah, but the but for us old standbys us old
veterans
souls. Yeah, we just get to develop. You know, we get to like sit and come up with a really cool idea and then. Well, fuck it. No, we have to do a lot of work. What am I saying? Like
that sounds nice.
I mean,
that's a soundbite.
There is a lot where, you know, we have amazing talented people that are working their asses off on the show, doing the stuff that if you were making this in your apartment, you would be doing yourself, like all of the backgrounds and the color and you know, actual animation, character designs, all that stuff. The early days, though, of development, it was just me and McMahon and a dry erase board, and you know, we were just kind of pitching ideas. And
I bet so many amazing doodles that you put on there. I'm just envisioning it. I'm sure
honestly,
there's
you're
some
right,
really
man.
Good
like, I let me stuff. Say something about that because I think Justin sells himself short on how important that is. That we'll be coming up with an idea and you can type out a million pages, but then Justin will draw something that's so funny. And then you'll be like, wait, we have to drill towards that. And it does start as a doodle on a whiteboard, but then it does elicit conversation that lets you kind of grow a character and a world out of that character. And it's amazing how in animation, if you lose that stuff at the front, like you do lose a lot of kind of the heart of a show if you don't have somebody kind of doodling away.
We
have a doodler. Sorry, go ahead, Jake. Oh, no, go ahead. I was just going to say something dumb. Go ahead.
No, if it's dumb, please give it.
It was going to derail everything.
No, let's hear it.
It was going to derail the whole thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't even know what I was going to say. It doesn't matter. No, Justin, Justin's Instagram is great to follow if you don't already, because he'll like post some of the stuff he draws and you can see the story. You can see the joke like evolve in his own unique voice and way that you just know that's like, how much does that help creating a show? Like
sometimes from his Instagram, you can see the darkest part of his soul.
I bet. Yeah.
I for some reason,
I saw some really disturbing stuff recently.
When I was doing quarantine drawings, I filled a sketchbook in the course of like 6 days, which is fucking crazy. I posted a bunch
of
them.
Can you release those? Can you get someone to publish them?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought of that. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe it's a good idea. But like the drawings are so filthy. I was like, God, I wasn't intentionally doing that. I was just sort of letting my mind wander, and I was just drawing without really. It's the kind of drawing you do when you're on the phone. You know, like I wasn't on the phone, but like it's the same thing where you're doing one thing, and then your mind is just sort of like off doing just drawing shit you're not even thinking about. So a lot of the drawings are just. And then I was going back through and I'm like, Jesus Christ, everyone has a dick and boobies. Everybody's, they're all naked. They're all like deformed. It's like, what is wrong with me? Because I wasn't trying to do that.
Justin is the Matisse of drawing sexual homunculuses when he's on the phone with you. So it's nice to know that when you're talking to him on the phone, he's drawing like a giant, weird, penis creature in the background.
It's never just a regular old sex organ situation. It's always got a twist. You know?
Oh yeah, literally. Nyuk, nyuk,
literally, nyuk. Figuratively, emotionally. But unfiltered Justin is a thing to behold, let me tell you.
It's a lot of fun, but you know, in this day and age, you know, jokes can be career enders depending on what they are. So you got to be careful. And so I miss the days of just jokes being like, oh, that's a joke. That's just a joke. That's not somebody's like, that doesn't reflect somebody's beliefs or their what's in their heart. It's just a dark joke. Okay, fine, moving on. But nowadays it's like, nope, that's you, what you believe in your heart, you're out of here, get them out of here. I mean,
that being said, we kind of never ran into a point on Solar where we couldn't do whatever the hell we wanted, so
no, that is true.
That is the best selling point. Like you just like made me want to watch it really badly. And I think probably a lot of other people.
I think it's because they're aliens. It's because they're aliens that don't really understand. Like you know, right out of the gate what their heart is. You know what I mean? So in that sense, you do get away with a lot more because from the frame around it is these are aliens that don't understand Earth culture. So if they say something offensive or do something horrible, it's not. It has no reflection on their intentions or what's in their heart. It's just that they're confused and they don't really understand.
Yeah,
and so you can get away with a lot. With a lot of great stuff that way.
That's fascinating. That feels like straight out of like the Book of Harmon, Justin.
Straight out of Compton.
But like that, like how do you?
What's the next lyric? You can't say it. You can't even say it.
Yeah,
because you don't remember it. Because you don't remember.
Yes, because I don't remember. No, I mean, like, there's definitely some of the joy of just being able to put out anything and have it understood, like, in context. There's so many movies or TV shows where we're like, that could never in a million years happen today. You know, like that was genuinely funny from another era where you're like, it could never fly.
Animals they went through in Homeward Bound.
Oh, yeah, dude. Ooh. Man,
you can only go through a max of 5 cats now. They cut you off.
Yeah, if you want to shoot a crazy scene that with a dog that's about to drown, you know, good luck. Someone on set will be filming secretly, and next thing you know, it's online.
Yeah.
The Rubik's Cube sounds like you are sucking on your own dentures. That's what I would like to imagine is happening on the other
end. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's
I
like
thought he finished
it. Cluck, 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 cluck.
Well, no, I finish it and then I shuffle it. I wish it wasn't so loud because, yeah.
Maybe you can put, what if you put it in a bag and like tie the bag around your hands?
Call me a skeptic, but I just, are you that good at them that you're finishing them?
He's like actually pretty fucking good at the Rubik's Cube.
It's just hard. Like, I have no proof.
I don't think it's good. I think I just took the time to memorize algorithms that I can solve. And I'm not fast. I can do it in like under a minute.
Okay, now you sound like Data from Star Trek, by the way.
I'm not good. I just memorized algorithms and I can do it in under a minute. Okay.
Well, yeah, but there's people that can do it in 3 seconds, you know? So it's like, you know, I'm not that, you don't want to be bragging. Oh, I'm pretty great at the Rubik's Cube. And then next thing you know, you meet somebody who's like, oh, really? What about this? And then you're like, oh, I suck.
I'd be like,
you just demonstrate with your hands someone doing it really fast.
Yeah.
If somebody told me they could do a Rubik's Cube in 3 seconds, I'd be like, get the fuck away from me. Like, I don't want to hear about that. Like, under a minute is impressive. Under 3 seconds is like, I don't know what's going on.
The next question is, what else can you do?
Nothing.
It's like the plate spinner, you know? It's like, okay, what else can you do? Like, nothing. I spin plates really well, impressively well. Good enough to go on a fucking competition reality show and win. All right.
Can you also make like multiple very funny, very popular cartoons about alien families? You know,
if you got lucky, maybe.
if Justin got better at Rubik's Cube, he would have to stop doing as much TV, and nobody wants that. So we need to keep him around the 1 minute mark.
Yeah. How do you curb the?
He's right. I mean, not to take it back to the show by accident or on purpose.
But anything real or valuable.
Well, it is fun writing the aliens on this show because they are so naive that it is like, it's like when you hear a little kid say something crazy at a grocery store that embarrasses their parents, but it's the entire family because they're just everything is so alien to them. And it's really fun writing somebody that naive and dumb that still get to drive a car and own a house.
Are they in disguise or are they like paint the picture for us? Yeah.
No, they're like immigrants on Earth and people on Earth don't really, I mean, they know that they're aliens, but they don't give a shit. It's not like ALF or any of those shows or ET where the FBI is going to come and dissect them. And
got it. Yeah.
It's accepted. It's kind of like, I mean, it's almost kind of the way people are with celebrities in LA. You know, most people in LA, especially people who grew up in LA, they're kind of like, oh, look, there's fucking The Rock. Thanks. There's The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And they're like, whatever. Who gives a shit? I don't care. What are we doing? Oh, we got to get the car fixed. Okay, yeah. I don't give a fuck about Dwayne Rock Johnson over there. Who gives a shit? Anyway, that's sort of what the humans are like on Solar. They're like, oh, there's those aliens. Great. Don't get near them. I don't want alien AIDS. You know,
so do confront intolerance of some kind then.
Yeah. There's definitely that's the immigrant story. You know, there's a bunch of racists and I mean, I wouldn't say we've tackled those topics head on the show. It's in the background. I think there's a little bit of it in some of the episodes, but
it's not quite Fievel Goes West.
Yeah, the people hate the aliens, but you can't tell if it's because they're aliens or because they're pieces of shit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean,
are they genuine pieces of shit, though? Or is that their accidental?
Sometimes they are kind of pieces of shit. I mean, who isn't? Yeah. You know, and I think sometimes we walk this line where people are like, in the show, the humans are like, fuck you, you pieces of shit. And then the aliens are like, you're just saying that because we're aliens. And the humans are like, yeah, you know what? You're fucking right. I'm racist to aliens and I fucking hate you. So it's
What it would be like? You know, it would be like if you bought a house with a couple of acres of like forest and stuff and like bushes and shit. And you were like, you know, I own this. This is my acres. I'm going to cut some trees down. I'm going to clear out some of this brush so I can put a pool in. And meanwhile, the humans in this metaphor, is it a metaphor? Whatever.
I think so.
It's you telling us what you're planning on doing.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to do next week. But the humans would be like the birds and the chipmunks and the characters that live inside of the forest. And they'd be fucking like, what the fuck, man? What are you doing? you know, but you're like, hey, I'm, this is my, I don't know how the rules are here. You're, I'm not from your world. You chipmunks and, you know, bugs and whatever else, you know, if this was a Disney movie about some land contractor coming in and fern gullying the place, it's like, oh, I don't know your fucking bat talking bat rules. You know, I'm going to fucking clear this shit out. And
I mean, you're right. You're on the side of the guys tearing down the rainforest here. And that's kind of what our guys are.
Aliens. Yeah. Our aliens are those guys. I mean, in some cases.
They are they like colonizing in some malicious way?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're on Earth. They're living on Earth and they're kind of looking at Earth as the backyard, you know? And they're like, well, they don't know the rules. They didn't grow up on Earth understanding that you can't just kill 1,000 humans on the way to getting, you know, a best friend that you really want.
Stepping on an anthill, so to speak.
Yeah. But
metaphor crystallizing for me.
In the show, they kind of get away with it. You know, nobody really knows that it was them. I don't know how that's possible.
I know. Well, humans are pretty dumb. It's also, they are planning on destroying the Earth and terraforming it to be like their homeworld and killing everybody. It just seems like they never quite, it's not up to them when it happens, but they don't seem bothered by it. Like, They're made of, the aliens are, our lead aliens are made of plant. Like, they literally don't have organs. They don't have penises. They have like a smooth round mound where there should be junk. And
but it's very highly sensitive. That mound is very sensitive. So
it must have been so hard. For you.
I would say it's more sensitive than a penis.
Yeah. If you were to lick the mound, they would just go wild.
God. Yeah. It also does emit a creamy emission.
Yeah, out of the pores. If you lick it, it'll slowly. It's almost like with those trees, those milk sap trees.
100%.
You cut them a little bit, and they just drip milk out of their pores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lick the mound. That's a good.
It's like Zan from Farscape. Remember Zan from Farscape?
100% like Zan from Farscape. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what she was up to when
long telomeres on Zan from Farscape.
Yeah.
You know, this show sounds great and I can't wait to watch it. Justin, are you multiple characters on this one?
I'm Corvo, the sort of leader alien, I guess, at least in his eyes, he sees himself as the leader. And then, we got, Thomas Middleditch as, Terry, who's the other adult alien. And then we've got Mary Mack and Sean Gambroni as the, two younger replicant aliens. And then I do a handful of random sort of side characters, but I don't think there's any other major. Oh, I guess
the Red Goobler. Yep, the Red Goobler is a good. I was about to say, if you don't bring up that you're the Red Goobler, you're gonna be kicking yourself later tonight.
Yeah, regret it. Huh? Just let the people know.
I'll never.
The people deserve to know who the Red Goobler is.
I'll always regret it. I mean,
it's also, I don't want to talk too much about Jason. It. But Andy Daly plays a hilarious part in the show, and Christina Hendricks and Alfred Molina, like.
We were Alina, yeah.
We had a great cast on this show.
Justin mentioned Alf earlier, and it brought to mind that Justin does one of the greatest impressions of Alf's dad,
Willie,
in the history of humanity.
Well, his owner, the guy who owns the house.
Yeah, he's not really. I mean, we don't want to put Alf in a box like that, you know. Yeah. No, really.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We should be careful. It's not.
Let's call him Alf's. Alf's human pal.
Let's go with that.
The oldest friend who lives in the house and owns the property that Alf crushed.
We don't want to offend any people who identify sexually as aliens, because they're
all of the big Alf head fans were like about to write an angry email, and then they're all backing away from their keyboards, being like, "All right, I'll keep listening to this."
I would have loved to get those emails.
The Alf.
Doesn't make me concern. Alf's dad lives on Melmac. He has nothing to do with.
Hey, did the show ever piss off the Alf's real family? No, I don't think.
No. Well, you got to see some of his buddies. I remember they somehow did an episode where maybe a girl showed up or something. I can't.
And there was a whole cartoon and a comic book about Alf to fill in the whole Alphaverse, which I was very invested when I was a kid.
I really wanted some live action badass like Alf, you know, before he came to Earth stories. You know, what the fuck was he up to anyway?
Yeah, what was the question? Well, it sounds like Alf was a major influence.
You know what he was doing?
It's a question.
He was, He was hiding from the FBI in space too. He just never stopped.
The Alf FBI, the Melmac FBI.
Yeah. But that's a big difference between the Alf and our show is that Alf was always worried about getting caught and hiding and getting picked apart. And everybody in our show doesn't really bat an eye that there are aliens. They just kind of fucking are annoyed when the aliens take too long at the grocery store. But
it's like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
The Rock Dwayne Johnson. Sorry.
Yeah, my initial point was just that Justin does an excellent voice as Alf's friend who lives in the same home as him. And
Will you do it for us, Justin? Will you say stuff about Miss Rachmaninoff?
I don't know how it's going to sound through all these layers of technology. If you hear it in person, it's just perfect. But let's see.
Yeah, we don't need to do it. I just want the world.
No, I'm gonna do it. But I just want to warn everyone listening that we're.
Oh, Justin, please do Alf's dad, please.
We're doing this through layers of filters and nonsense. So here we go.
You know, when Justin's at Comic-Con, there's always a. Oh boy.
No, it's the actor's name was Max Wright, famous for the. You know, the photos of him blowing.
Right, some other things. Other things. That
crack. So here he'd be like, hey, Willie! This is Alfred. Hey, Willie! It's me, Alf! I haven't done it in a while. I need to practice, but anyways.
Wait.
Willie, hey, Willie, I need to eat some cats, Willie! Oh, Alf. Oh, Alf. Alf. Alf, I'm trying to eat. That's horrible. I need to practice.
I do like, this kind of palsy voice, which makes me laugh, where it sounds like you're riding a tiny little horse or something. It's bouncing you up. And
it warms the deepest part of my soul during this quarantine to get a little hit of the original Alf, dad.
Justin, when we're allowed to go outside again and you can go back to like going to Granville and having people be like, will you do the Rick and Morty voices? Will you just be like, no, but I can do the guy who lives with Alf.
I want to do that. I want to be like, no, I hate when people ask me to do the voices. It's so weird.
You know? I love being there when they ask you to do it. Because the little micro expression you make when they ask you is so funny.
He hates exactly what I just did.
Well,
just
Willie and Alf are fine. That's not a problem.
They have just nothing. For everyone out there, don't ask him to do Rick and Morty.
Ask him to do Mario in the tub. I like Mario in the tub.
You know what is weird to me is, you know, people, I guess, used to ask for autographs. It doesn't. I've never had anyone ask me for an autograph ever. Isn't that weird?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would uncork that on this. You're causing yourself a world of trouble.
Have you ever had that happen to you, Mike? Have people ever asked you for an autograph?
All the time.
I actually think, weirdly, one or two have, and I've been like, you don't want this. This is going to make whatever you're having me sign worthless. But
oh, I
Justin,
feel that way.
People have asked me for your autograph. I'm not joking. Like, people have asked me for that. So I can't believe you've never had an autograph.
Nobody in person. Nobody has ever, like, you know, I'm a big fan. It's always, can I get a picture with you? Or can you do the voices while I film you on my Snapchat or something?
That's terrible.
Well, that's the thing that the digital age, all these e-people, you know, it's like, that's the new autograph. It's like, can I get a clip from my Instagram or whatever?
Well, isn't it true though?
Is it hard for you to address it in a way that's polite and like, hey, look, it's not a.
I haven't learned it yet. I just end up just doing it. I'm like, oh, geez, Rick. Oh, wow. Yeah, I just get it out of the way real quick, and then and then everything's peaceful. It's like I don't want to, you know, it's more trouble to be like, actually, I have to inform you that I don't prefer doing this.
I wish people knew it's not like so. You know, I'm one of those people who grew up in LA, and when I see The Rock, quote unquote, Dwayne Johnson, I don't like get all like. Rustled because it's been part of my life, but I wish there was a way to communicate to people in general that it's like it's really hard to put someone in that position where they either have to be a jerk and put into all that effort or they kind of have to become a victim of that moment, right? Like, I want a PSA about that.
I mean, you guys are better than me. When I see William Maypother at Ralph's, I'm like, Maypother, holy fuck. Like, we got Tom Cruise's cousin over here. Like, I'm freaking out.
Not to name drop, but I used to see him all the time. We used to go to the same gym.
The best. William Maypother sightings are my favorite. Who cares about The Rock?
Like, he's the biggest. He's the biggest and the best.
I saw Ron Jeremy at the Hollywood Bowl once, and I lost my fucking gourd. It was so funny. I couldn't believe it. It's like in the Midwest when you're like, you see a really pretty deer and you're like, oh, that's neat, part of nature. But instead it's Ron Jeremy at some concert.
I think that the longer you live in LA, here's what I'll say. If you didn't grow up in LA, you're always going to be susceptible to that kind of excitement. I think most people I know that have grown up here, it's like they're sort of just like George. They're like, I don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But numb and dead inside.
You know, I feel like I'm more kind of like not, I don't, it's cool, but it's like, I don't care. I'm not like freaking out. But
for me, it's like a rare Pokemon. Like if I see a regular like celebrity around, I'm like, okay. But if you see like a really like rare, funny, like it doesn't have to be like they're big. Like it doesn't have to be like you're seeing Brad Pitt, but like, you know, Andreas Katsoulas, may he rest in peace. Like that kind of sighting, like, oh, it's the guy who was the one armed man. Like that's exciting for me.
Yeah, you're right. It is something like there's a Ralph's in, it's like right on the edge of, I think it might even be in Universal City. It's like on the edge of Studio City going into Universal City, kind of near where the where Universal Studios is, and the 4 or the 101 kind of is near there. I used to call it the celebrity Ralph's because every time I went there, I would see some famous person that I wouldn't know their name, but I would know.
Yeah.
I've seen this person in so many movies and things.
That's, I like the background actor. Like when you're at like a breakfast place and there's an actor who's been in a million things, but as a background person, and you're just staring at them being like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah. Kind of like the old thing of like at the commissary, you know, on the lot, like everybody's on break and there's like, oh, there's that guy.
All of Los Angeles is like that chase scene at the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Justin, I know you hate doing the voices and nobody asks you for a signature, but I know for a fact that what you really love is when people ask you to sit down and spend some time drawing them a Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah, right.
You always carry paper and a pen to do it for them. Like, it's really generous of you.
No, that's too. I'm very busy. I've got to get my dog to the vet. It's a brush scenario.
The quarantine vet, yeah. No, it's like there. People are just asking you to perform for mm-hmm. them constantly.
Well, I want to be clear. It's not. It's not. I mean, it's happened. You know, I don't know how many times, but it's not like
twice.
It's not that big of a deal. It's not. I'm fine. It's fine. I don't. Yes. It's okay.
You're also a really nice guy, so you know we all know that.
People I did have. I never get seen by anybody, even though I'm extremely noticeable because I look really weird and the. One time, one kid at an Arclight theater stopped in his tracks and stared at me and then said, "You're that Rick and Morty guy," and then just walked away. And I was like, all right, I'm famous. This is scary.
That's cool, though. I mean, yeah, it's cool, and then it's also scary. I totally
It was just funny that he wasn't excited. He just wanted to say it out loud.
Yes. Everybody were a rare Pokemon for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's been very nice. I've never had anybody be like an asshole. Knock on wood.
And I mean, people love the shows, like really love them. So, you know, that I think that helps, right? Like if people are just huge fans.
You'd be surprised. Seems like the people who like it the most get a little testy.
That's true. That's a good point. Like you've tiptoed into Star Trek waters, or you will be.
Honestly, like, though, I was a little worried at first because I know that people, Star Trek fans, like they really have a lot of love for the entire franchise, and becoming a new part of that, like it is a scary thing for them. But I went to the Star Trek Vegas convention to do some kind of, you know, explanation of the series because it's taking so long to make because it's animation. But I was able to talk to a lot of fans, and like honestly, once you start talking to them and they hear that you love it as much as they do, all of that stuff drops away, and they're really inclusive and friendly. Like
I feel like it's a fan base that's, I mean, I'm part of it. I feel like it's a fan base that's pretty welcoming compared to some, but fan bases are tricky.
It's tricky. Because you know? Like with Star Trek, they're just happy to be talking to somebody that they know likes Worf. And with like,
I miss Star Trek The Next Generation style pacing and stories. Like what happened to that?
Me too, man. Me too.
Like what happened to Picard? Like he's not the same in this Picard show. He's like a different fucking character.
completely. Yeah, but if it was the same, you wouldn't. If it was the same, you'd be like, they're just doing the same thing. Like, it's kind of
annoying. But if he was the same character with the same brain, I would be way into it. But it's like, he's not. He's like, it's so bizarre. Like, he's doing shit that Picard just would not do, period.
I think that part of what's happened is that, like, Star Trek is such a tall order. You know, it's a utopia and everything has to go well. And, like, TNG was like...
I think that they're trying to make it Star Wars. They're trying to make it, like, explosions and fucking action instead of, like, you know, a thinking man's show. You know, where it's like the Next Generation has these amazing fucking well-written stories that... they're not filled with explosions and actions and MacGuffins that we need to get. It's like,
yep.
It's a
very deep show. Yeah.
I don't know, guys. Having consumed like tons and tons of like Star Trek, like books of like Star Trek history and everything, like there's never been a Star Trek, including the first Star Trek that came out, that people didn't immediately hate and then grow to love. Like people hated TNG when it first came out. Star Trek got canceled. It didn't grow until it got into syndication in the first place. You know, every one of those 90s shows that we love now really struggled. And I think there's something honest and protective about, there's this thing that I grew to love. And now you're telling me a new version of it is supposed to be the thing I love. Like,
or just,
you know,
or
it's,
a character is not doing what you would do because you love the character and love the character. I don't mind as much with a totally new. Well, if it's well written and it's and not like, oh fuck, what do we do? Shit, I don't know. Just who cares? If it's anything other than that, I can get on board, even if it is fast paced and explosions and, you know, not, and Starfleet is not, you know, this peaceful, you know, evolved thing. Instead, it's going back to primitive human, you know, rage and anger and destruction and. Whatever the
is
fuck.
There a franchise, you know, I'm curious to ask you guys, because like, I mean, obviously Mike, you're getting into the Star Trek world and have been, but like, it's hard to take on a franchise. Cause like you just said, fans take kind of like ownership and relationships with the originals and the characters, but is there one you'd get involved in? Like, or would you just not want to do that and kind of stick to doing your own thing?
Wait,
and
are you talking to me?
Part of that. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Justin. Is there a franchise where you'd be like, yeah, I'd love to like play in that world?
There's a few, but they're not like I wanted to do a Child's Play thing, but that's weird because it's still going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There's
been a few that I think would be cool, but at the same time, there's probably too many cooks in the kitchen, too many masters to serve. I don't think it would be something you'd be able to just go in and do what you want, you know, and have a lot of fun. I think unless it's something that's just so in the dirt that nobody's looking, I'm sorry about the banging, by the way, that nobody's like looking to do anything with, you know, like maybe Nightmare on Elm Street is so in the dirt. I mean, they tried to reboot it. It was fucking terrible. Did you see that, by the way, that 2010?
Yeah.
I mean, they leaned into the pedophilia shit so hard. I was just like, why would you pick that fucking angle? Like, I get, all know Freddy's a fucking pedophile, child rapist, murderer guy.
It's funny that like, horror is kind of like your go-to, that you're thinking in terms of horror.
Yeah, because I think horror is kind of, it's evolved to a place where, I don't know, like you could, it's all of the really larger than life killers, you know, that we grew up with, are kind of on the back burner. That type of horror isn't really happening right now. And I think there's probably a way to reboot it. It can't be exactly the way it used to be. It'd have to have some kind of new take, in order to be palatable to modern audiences. But I think there's a way to do it. And it's not the edgy, like, oh, look at how fucking scary Freddy is. He's not. It's like you have to kind of straddle the like.
Hey, don't do that scary voice. You're creeping me out over here.
But
like Justin's scary voice.
Well, that was anyway. Yeah, like I think you know, you're going into dreams. Like, have fucking fun with it. Like, I don't know. It seems.
Yeah,
like
I hear.
You could
I
do
see
a
where
lot.
You're coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, like they did more with dreams in a cool way, in Eternal Sunshine. Like that shit was fucking awesome. That's like, you know, in this new reboot, it's like, what are you doing to take advantage of the fact that we're in dreams? Like you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
There was a couple moments. There's like maybe two moments I can think of, But yeah, and then why go into the pedophile shit so hard? It's like we didn't do that in the first one, the original.
I think there's just a draw towards like true crime, gritty, raw, real. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of the guess. I just did a little of the scary voice there. Did you?
Yeah, yeah. That
stop.
Hey, well, I'm ready to be.
You're scaring me with the scary voice.
Yeah, the scary voice. Anyway, so whatever. Hey, Mike, are you done writing the Star Trek show, the first batch or whatever?
Yeah, we did the first season. We're animating right now. We're about halfway through it, and then we're writing season two right now.
Oh, awesome.
And the thing that I've been finding, there's sort of like there's two ways to go about kind of living in an existing world. Is the way that I don't think I'm interested in is kind of like figuring out what made the first one tick and then mining it and expanding it and like changing stuff. But the thing I like is kind of saying, okay, the first thing exists. You're allowed to love that. I love that too. Here's a part of that world that we haven't explored yet that we'll get to explore that doesn't undo or change any of the stuff you like from the first one. So like TNG.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir, man.
TNG was a good version of that. Battlestar Galactica, the new version of it, was kind of a great way to do that. And
Rogue One. Wasn't Rogue One like, do you guys?
Yeah, it was like a little piece of Star Wars that you felt like was always there. But even that, I'm like, somebody took something from Star Wars and was like, let's blow that up. To me, it's more like, let's take the idea of like the thing we're trying to do with Lower Decks, which I really like, is it feels like a TNG episode.
Well, it's named for a TNG episode.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
But it's about non-bridge crew people who are still really good at Star Trek stuff, but just are funnier and don't have to worry about guiding the ship. So the stories are different. You know?
I'm excited.
It's fun. And I think like, you know, being careful with something where like you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater is important. And I think like for different creators, there's different definitions of that. And, you know, personally for me, it's like, I think expanding and like kind of like it's almost like being in a big dark empty house with a flashlight and being like, well, what's going on in this room we've never been in before? You know what I mean? Like that's kind of more exciting for me.
Yeah. Would you advise people like to pitch and conceive of their own takes on properties like that? Because obviously you can't.
No. Not really. Yeah. That,
right.
Come up with your own original awesome. Or to you, it's awesome idea, and write a spec script on that, because the whole writing spec scripts of other people's shows, like even The Office or anything, that's a time that's gone. Like people don't you don't get staffed anymore from a spec script of The Office or some other show.
Yeah, when I'm staffing, I can't even tell what your voice of a writer is if you're doing. I know a lot of showrunners do look for people that can write an existing. Like especially network folks, but like when I'm when we staffed Rick and Morty the last three seasons, I never read a single piece of material that was an existing show because it just sounds like they watched the show and wrote a version of it. Like that's
and it's also good for people to know that they can't give you a Rick and Morty spec. Like you can't give the people who make the show a spec of that show. It's like a legal problem.
Nor would we want to see it because it would just bum us out.
Right? Because if it was awesome, you'd be like, "Fuck!"
Because we're looking for somebody to write the next. Interesting thing, not a version of the thing we already did.
That's good though. People should know that.
Like, but let's say you do want to someday do a Star Trek or whatever. If you write a bunch of your own stuff and you chase your own voice, like you're finding things that nobody thought to write before and you make that stuff, eventually, like the thing that happened to me is I was doing all the stuff that made me laugh that I liked, and then I got asked to come in and think about a Star Trek show. And like in one meeting, I rattled off what my perfect kind of off the top of my head version of a Star Trek show would be. And because I was confident enough to do all this other stuff before, it just happened really organically. But I think if you're sitting around trying to come up with a Star Trek show, it's never going to feel like you. It's just going to feel like a version of a Star Trek show. And that's never anything anybody's going to want.
That's right, man. Nobody's going to care about that, you know?
Hey, Justin, would you do a Farscape if Henson was like, please come and be a part of it?
Man, I mean, here's what I would do. Here's what I would do. I would want to get Rockne S. O'Bannon back, and then whatever people he worked with, whoever we could get. And I would just want to sort of, like help guide the show, because I know what I would want it to be, but I wouldn't, I'm too scared to be the guy who's actually like, I would have fun breaking story and like the larger sort of roadmap of it.
Yeah.
But, I wouldn't want to get too in the weeds with them on it, partly because I'd want to just sit back and enjoy it like everyone else. But also, I just don't think that show's so fucking good. It's like,
yeah,
again, I'm looking at it through very rose colored goggles. I haven't seen it in so long, but my memory of it is it was some of the best sci-fi I'd ever seen at that point in my life. And up till season four, it just kind of, it felt like they were stalling. And I was like,
that's the thing that happens in Star Trek too, is that like, there's so many good episodes that if there's a stinker or something doesn't quite work, they took a swing at it. But the same swings that resulted in awesome episodes result in misfires sometimes, but it doesn't matter because you can love it in general. You know what I mean?
That's why you want to encourage people to do new things, because like, that's where the really great gem is going to come, is like the new thing. And like taking that chance, yeah, it might not work, but it's always fun to see new stuff.
I would say like a full on reboot of Farscape, like which, fuck, I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe you could do that and get, you know, get people kind of back into it, or you
really
know,
really lean into broader. This time, really lean into the pedophilia stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Like we double down. We knew it was there, kind of in the shadows, but let's really put a spotlight on it.
Watch, they're gonna edit out the earlier stuff so that joke sounds like I'm fucking psycho.
I want to be careful with what I leave in here for your guys' sake, because I care about you, because I'm a fan. I want to see it.
You can leave it all in. I think. Yeah, I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. But we all knew Freddy was a pedophile, right? Like the very first movie, it was pretty clear he was a pedophile. He was fucking children.
I think that's part of the dark subtext for sure.
Yeah, but they didn't like fucking like show flashbacks and make him like all sexual and creepy towards the victims. It was fucking, the new one was so bad. So bad. Unnecessary.
When I hear the loud banging from Justin, I assume he's doing a massive Rubik's cube.
Yeah,
like the size of a house. And he's
that's right.
It.
Yeah.
Sorry about the banging. It's unavoidable, you guys.
Like a whole side of Rubik's
Cube. If you want to know the truth, I'm getting a new roof on my house right now. That's the
truth. Whoa, Mr. Moneybags over here.
Yeah, I know.
Loves having a roof.
I know, guys.
Well, that's exciting. Is it made of Legos?
Yes.
I just picture you're in a Lego house, right?
Like, yeah, that's right. Pure Legos, baby.
That's the way to do it.
Oh yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much for giving us this much time. It's been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a podcast or not, but it's been fun.
Do you want to do any last second solar stuff? We're happy to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you guys like? I mean, for the we'll take it out.
It's on, aliens. It's aliens on Earth.
Let's just take it out on. You know,
well, they have the aliens have a cool like a ship that they crashed into the roof of a house and they just sort of left it there. It's their ship, and they have a bunch of crazy sci-fi stuff in the ship that gets them into a lot of trouble. So there's all of that fun stuff. The ship has a holodeck type room because you know, Mike and I love that their holodeck. It's you know, they have that on the ship because, you know, you're going long distances in space.
What's
you
it called? To...
What's
yeah,
that?
What is it called?
Oh, it's called the Pretendo deck, right? Isn't that what we call it?
Oh, yes, it is.
I was going to say, is it called the Dalo heck or something?
No. It's
but Pretendo deck is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice name.
Yeah, it's the Play School Kids version of the holodeck.
Yeah. I am really excited. Like, you know, I think the only thing I wanted to kind of throw in here about Solar is that it's the first time I've gotten to write, I think Justin, you too, maybe, that something that's heavily serialized that we knew from the pitch was going to be dropped all at once on the same day so that we knew that somebody could watch all the episodes in order. So we got to do some stuff that like I really, really love to do from a serialization point of view. It was really fun.
Yeah,
that's cool. So it's not one storyline, obviously, but it's the kind of show where there are continuing threads that unravel over the course of the series.
Yeah,
the season, right?
Yeah,
big time.
There's a bit of a surprise. Yeah, it's gonna be it's really fun.
And
basically,
and
if you watch it the day it airs, you're gonna be crowing about something on Twitter and being able to spoil stuff for people. So I hope
So watch it the day it airs.
I'm hoping people jump on it, because like otherwise it's going to be from on May 8th. The people who watch it on May 8th are going to have a different experience from the people who watch it on May 9th.
Well, and like all this stuff, like they won't get the memes if they don't watch it on May
8th. Gotta get those memes.
I mean, guys, you want to get the memes, right? I mean, you don't want to be out of the loop on the memes.
That's the real motivator behind everything now, is like I want to understand the memes.
And it helps us forget that we're going to die someday.
Not me.
I don't want to take it out on anything other than that. That's it. Like, it helps us forget we're going to die. Guys, thank you so much, Mike. It was nice getting to know you.
Hey,
Justin,
thank you,
it's always a pleasure.
Nice to hear your voice, George.
Yeah, you too,
miss
man.
You, man.
I miss you too, and it was amazing. And thanks for indulging me on Alf's dad. I feel like I can say
not
that
his dad.
Like, it makes me very happy. I want the world to hear Alf's dad. I'm going to say dad. I'm going to run wild and take the big chance there. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you much.
Later, man.
So you survived the interview with Justin and Mike. I survived, and so did our editor, obviously, or at least I hope so. Please rate the No Film School podcast and leave a comment and subscribe. Check us out on nofilmschool.com. We have a lot of content about animation. We also have our How to Write a Screenplay During Quarantine ebook, which is available. Check that out. Subscribe to the newsletter to get the free ebook. It's 100 pages. It's amazing. And make sure you check out Solar Opposites on May 8th on Hulu. It's going to be funny. And Justin and Mike, if you can't tell from the podcast that the stuff they create is special and unique, trust me, it is. And definitely watch the show. And thanks for listening. And hopefully we'll have more good stuff coming to you soon. Not hopefully. We will. I promise. My best. Always. Bye.